Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
You look incredible at 70, almost 71. You sent me some before pictures and after pictures. Do you feel like you're de-aging?
The adage in our culture is you age, you get old, and then you end up with metabolic and health issues, and then you die. Not only do I have my life back, but I kick myself. Can you imagine if I had started this way of life back when I was a competitive athlete? My chronological age was 68, but my health age was 41. And that was just a year or two into carnivore. My athletic performance has skyrocketed. I'm outperforming people half my age.
A lot of people saw some of the stuff we've done with Maggie, the rancher. Maggie's 83. When we interviewed her, she said, I feel like I'm going to live to be 120 years old. And she said, there's no reason we shouldn't. Everyone is dying far before their time now because of the foods they're eating. Do you feel like you may live to be 100 or older?
I've always thought about my mortality.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Greg on, also known as Gig. Gig, welcome to the channel. How are you doing?
Well, thank you so much, Carrie. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing great this morning. Nothing like waking up with no brain fog, right?
Right. It's amazing.
Jumping out of bed, hopping out of bed.
I wake up with a smile on my face now, and I'm not joking about that. It's the weirdest thing. I used to grind my teeth and kind of always just had like all the anxiety and tension there, and it's completely gone on carnivore, which is great.
Oh, ditto, ditto.
I'm looking forward to hearing your story. I've seen a little sneak peek that you sent me, and it's pretty remarkable. If we could, Gig, maybe if you could take us back as far as you'd like, could you tell me what led you to a carnivore diet?
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to try to provide you with a Reader's Digest. That's an old term in regards to everything, but it's pretty in-depth. So I'm going back to my childhood, as far back as I can remember, around 4 years old. And I was raised in a Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie and Harriet type of family time frame as a baby boomer. And we were traditional families that sat down at dinner as a family and discussed daily activities and world events and everything else. But with that said, I've lived my whole life in a heavy carbohydrate world. And going back, I remember I became very much addicted to anything sugary early on. And I've always been an athlete. And early on in my childhood, I would go outside and play football and baseball and throw the frisbee around as far as neighborhood baseball and football teams and everything. And one of the things that I noticed early on, once I was around 8 to 10 years old, is right after dinner or right after lunch, I would go out and play. And within a half an hour, all of a sudden, I would start to get the shakes. And this is as a 8, 10 year old. And I would all of a sudden have this feeling of hunger, half an hour after I've eaten. And it's like, why am I experiencing these things? And to take that a little bit further in life, once I became a amateur competitive athlete in my disciplines, which is back then was football, tennis, and gymnastics, I had the same reactions. And the only way I could not feel so bad, and I would get the hot sweats and feeling jittery, was to come back inside and eat something sweet. Announced to you, though, is after lunch or dinner or breakfast, we would always eat something sweet. Traditional breakfasts would be anywhere from waffles to pancakes with maple syrup and, you know, occasional eggs and sausage. And for lunch, I lived off of my favorite tuna fish sandwiches, but I would always have some kind of a sweet dessert. And same thing with dinner. And found out that around 14, 15 years old, I was pretty much addicted to anything sugary. So with that said, that stayed with me throughout my whole life. Now, I'm almost 71. I'm going to be 71 in May. And only almost four years ago, after being an athlete all my life, and only once did I severely gain weight, and I'll mention that, I reached a point where I started to see my mortality flashing in front of me. But going back to the way I was eating as a child, and now I see it plainly, clear as day, I became a carboholic. And I'm talking OCD. I mean, it got to a point where I wouldn't have they were called ringdings back in my day, but they're like these round chocolate cakes with cream filling in the middle. I would eat a whole box of those, and a box contained anywhere from 6 to 10, I think, in one sitting. I found that during times I would eat table sugar right out of the box. I've been known to eat up to 4 quarts of ice cream in one sitting. I mean, this is serious. And this feeling of eating a normal meal, a SAD, standard American diet meal back then, always found me a half an hour later getting the shakes. I would never get headaches, but I would get the shakes and I would feel hot and clammy and sweat. And the only way to fix it was to eat something sweet. And I found that I was constantly eating every 3 hours throughout the day. Now, as an athlete, I didn't have any weight issues because I'm constantly burning calories and always has been into health and fitness, but didn't realize of my carb addiction until later on. So with that said, I went through my adolescent years, my young adult years, my adult years, and then my senior years up until about 4 years ago, with living life having to needing to eat every 3 hours. And when you think about the standard American diet and how carbohydrate loaded it is, no thanks to the father of misinformation, Ansel Keys, which I'll talk about in just a moment. But we Homo sapiens sapiens have to refuel consistently every 3 or 4 hours regardless. So over the past 10 years, going back from today to 10 years back, I started to develop metabolic and health issues. And here I am, a very competitive athlete, dedicated into health and fitness, and I'm starting to see things that really opened my eyes, and kept asking myself, why me? Why me? Now, my dad, he passed at 54 years old. He was also a semi-professional athlete. He was a tennis a winning tennis champion, and he competed, but he ate a high carbohydrate diet. Did he eat protein? Yes, he did, but his doctors told him to cut back on the saturated fats, go low fat or no fat, and eat carbs. And that's what he did. And he ended up during a tennis tournament just dropping on the court, and boom, he was gone. My mom, on the other hand, she doesn't have a perfect diet, but she's going to be 98 years old with very few medical issues. So genetics, I understand, plays a course in all of this. So with that said, going back about 10 years ago, I started to experience symptoms that were not, that were just, they were scary. So some of the symptoms that I started to experience and have, well, I mentioned the ones that I've always had since childhood. I hated going to the dentist because I had a plethora of cavities, obviously, with all the junk food that I was eating. And when I would brush my teeth, my gums would bleed. And this was a regular thing, let alone I couldn't floss without a lot of blood involved. But this was something that I dealt with all my life. So chronic bleeding gums. And I just assume, okay, I may be brushing too hard. Why am I in so much pain when I go to the dentist for a simple cleaning? They would have to give me Novocaine just to clean my teeth. The pain was so intense. So with that said, I've always had that. And as far as metabolic functions and body hygiene, I've always kept it in check, but I've noticed that if I don't keep it in check, you know, things like body odor, bad breath, smelly feet, and all of these things were things that, again, I've kept in check, but I had to stay on top of. But to bring you up to speed fairly quickly, six and a half to 7 years ago, I experienced my first aura migraine. And an aura migraine is a migraine where you're seeing anomalies in both eyes, because it's, from what I learned, it's from the brain, the back of the brain, where you get these looks like lightning, constant lightning and flashing. And that could last anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. And then after that went away, the headache would set in. And I would get those maybe five or six times a year. That would pretty much put me down. And then about 6 years ago, I actually got a real bad one. And then after it kind of went away, and I ended up taking a lot of ibuprofen and aspirin when I felt it coming on. But after it left me, all of a sudden I started, and I was at work, I started to realize I couldn't make out words. I would look at the word, for example, the word health, and I could see the H-E-A-L-T-H, but I wasn't able to say the word or understand what H-E-A-L-T-H meant. And it scared the living daylights out of me, and I thought I was having a stroke. So I got up from my computer, went into another area of the office, and spoke to a colleague, and then realized what was coming out of my mouth didn't make sense. I couldn't, I could be saying something like, hey, Carrie, metabolic health is really important, but it came out as, hey, cur, mid, see, he, and it would come out all gibberish. Now, I wasn't slurring my words, it just wasn't coming out right. And that lasted for about 40 minutes. To make a long story short, I found out that what I had was a migraine-induced aphasia. And there's a very popular YouTube video. It's about a 5-minute video of couple of years ago of a field reporter who was a member of a local TV station who was out doing a field report. And live during her field report, the same thing happened to her. And this, you can YouTube this, and if you find it, you can just put news reporter with aphasia and it'll come up. Well, that's exactly what I sounded like. And come to find out, it was induced by this aura migraine. And that scared me. And then 2 years after that, I had a, I'm not one to get sick very often, but 2 years after that, I had a persistent upper respiratory infection that normally should last no more than 2 weeks, but lasted 4 weeks. And I ended up going to a walk-in clinic. They tested me and they said, it looks like you have a viral, excuse me, a bacterial infection. Here are some antibiotics. And said, take two of these and we'll see you later. And that didn't resolve my issue. And about the 4.5 week mark, I was at work teaching a class. And right after I dismissed the class, the room started to rise and spin around. Mm-hmm. It was crazy, absolutely crazy. Now, I'm a non-drinker, non-smoker, non-drugger. I've never drank, never smoked, never drugged, haven't done any of that all my life. And when that happened, it came on quick and I was completely disabled. And just shy of calling an ambulance, my coworker drove me home and I was able to get to my bedroom, put myself to bed, didn't even take off my clothes, just jumped on top of the bed, went to bed, hoping that it would pass. And when I woke up in the morning, it was bad. Come to find out that I was diagnosed with viral vestibular neuritis, which is where a virus, and hence my upper respiratory infection, wasn't bacterial. It was viral, and where it should have just gone away, ended up working its way into my middle ear. And it didn't affect anything auditory wise, but compromised the vestibular nerve from the ear to the left side of the brain, which means now I have lost complete sense of balance. I could not balance. So I ended up, my family and friends ended up getting me to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I was diagnosed. And I found out that it was irreparable. The nerve was compromised and I would have to deal with this for the rest of my life. And when I was told that, the doctor said, there is physical therapy. We have medications for the nausea. Carrie, I hadn't thrown up since I was 4 years old. I didn't know what it was like, but the temporary vertigo and everything else that I was dealing with, I was basically a vegetable in that, a physical vegetable, not a mental vegetable. I was never in any pain, but I had to crawl to get around and I would get nauseous with everything spinning around. It was terrible. But the doctor said that within a year or two that I would be able to adjust and function fairly normal. I ended up going to therapy and being an ex-gymnast, I did my own home therapy and I was able to rehabilitate myself within 3 months, not years. And what happens is the other side of the brain takes control and it balances out. But along with that, you're always going to have vestibular neuritis. So I experienced that and I still have it today, but no one knows. And I can function at 99.9% as long as it doesn't require a sport where I have to run and catch a ball or run and hit a ball, where when I'm doing that, everything kind of moves around a little bit. So it's harder for me, but in any other sport, I'm fine. I'm also somewhat compromised in a total dark environment where I don't have that visual acuity where I can see where I'm going, but I've been able to overcome that as well. I've improved tremendously. So with that said, some of these metabolic health issues, I started to question, why me? Why me? And again, to shorten my story, and I've got a list of items that I just want to cover with you. The chronic bleeding gums, the viral vestibular neuritis, and then chronic extreme tooth sensitivity, halitosis, bad breath. I ended up with hypoglycemia, and I ended up with type 2 diabetes. With a list of autoimmune issues, such as adhesive capsulitis, also known as impinged shoulder syndrome. That is an autoimmune issue. Localized alopecia, even though I look like I'm I have eyebrows and I grow hair. I have hair on my on my body, and I choose to shave my head. But alopecia is an autoimmune disorder where the body works against itself and you're not able to grow body hair. You're minus all body hair. Well, mine was localized. I started to lose hair on one side of my mustache, which means I had to shave every day. Otherwise, I'd be walking around with a half a mustache. Patches on my face, patches on my legs and arms of no hair growth. I remember years ago, or not years ago, well, a couple of years ago, some friends of mine, I became an avid cyclist, asked me, hey, Gig, do you shave your legs? And I said, no, I don't shave my legs, because a lot of cyclists, pro cyclists, shave their legs for aerodynamic capabilities, just like swimmers. No, I don't shave my legs, but all the hair on my lower legs were gone. I lost all that hair. It looked like I shaved my legs. So I started to experience all these metabolic issues.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
I'm going to list them all in one shot just to let you know that they all eventually accumulated. And a little over 4 years ago, that's when I started to see my mortality flash in front of me. So, hyperinsulinemia, metabolic syndrome, hypoglycemia, as I said, type 2 diabetic. And I never got on medication because right when I realized I was type 2 diabetic by my A1C numbers, I started to cut back on things, and I was going to try to tackle it that way. But my A1C at that time was 8.1, which put me into a type 2 diabetic, not a pre-type 2, but a type 2. And then we have ulcerative colitis. This was another life-altering situation, Carrie. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of ulcerative colitis, but there's a ton of ads, no thanks to Big Pharma, on TV for people that have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. In my case, it was ulcerative colitis. And I ended up having to go on a biologic, which means I was infused. I had to go in with infusions. Infusions, like cancer patients, I don't have cancer, but you have to go in and sit there with an IV in your arm getting the medication. And I'd have to have that once every 2 months, and that kept me in check, okay? But I had full-blown ulcerative colitis, not Crohn's, thank goodness, but ulcerative colitis. I had to be near a bathroom, no doubt. The biologic that I was on was called Entyvio, which worked really well. But no one wants to be infused. Wouldn't it be better if I could just take pills? And there are some biologic pills you can take, but they're, in my opinion, they're not as effective. And I've had rheumatoid arthritis, but I always thought it was gymnastics related, in my knuckles, in my elbows, in my wrists, in my hips, in my toes, in my feet. Knees, not too bad, but I just figured, hey, old age, and look, all my athletics and sports, wear and tear on the bones, no doubt. And then along with ulcerative colitis, IBS, itchy skin in places where the sun don't shine, as well as very dry eye syndrome, itchy eyes, blepharitis, which is an eyelid issue of dryness of the eye. I ended up, my toenails started to kind of turn off white or off pink, kind of in the yellowish category. I ended up with toenail fungus for no odd reason, which a lot of older people get naturally. Okay. You'll notice thickening toenails and fingernails and discolored. And my triglycerides were extremely elevated to CRP. Having insulinemia, being sensitive now, elevated insulin. And needless to say, I've had up to 11 surgeries, all sports related. But nothing that I've ever gone through with all of my surgeries equals the migraine-induced aphasia, the viral vestibular neuritis. These were life-altering changes. And all of a sudden, at that time, I turned 67 or 66. And I just figured, hey, this is what's supposed to happen when you get old. And so I really didn't know what to do. Doctors had me on medicines for my skin issues, they wanted to put me on medicine for my type 2 diabetes, and I would take, I lived off of NASDEDs, I lived off of ibuprofen as my drug of choice. And finally, one day, without even thinking about it, I was going through YouTube, and I came across a video of Michaela Peterson. Now, Carrie, you're smiling. You know where I'm going with this. All of the people that you've interviewed talk about the infamous doctors, that wonderful doctors. And I have to give a plug out to not only some of these doctors, because I think it would be imperative that your audience understands that there are doctors out there that don't have a knee-jerk reaction when your total cholesterol is where mine was, which is up around 600 and something, and your LDL is up around 350, 360, and they immediately want to put you on statins, and I'll discuss that in a moment. But I saw this interview with Joe Rogan and Michaela Peterson, and when I heard and saw the metabolic syndrome, autoimmune related issues that Michaela was going through, and how she went through hell for half of her adolescent life, and no one could help her. And through her taking responsibility and accountability of her own health, she was able, by trial and error, to figure out that a 100% meat-based diet, practically lion diet, resolved every one of her, we'll call them opportunities, not issues, opportunities, because an opportunity is something that you can overcome, learn from, and excel, okay? So that blew me away. And then I saw another interview with her doing a TED Talk, talking about all the medications and everything. And then I saw another Joe Rogan interview with her dad. And that those ignited a fire under my butt. And I said, you know what, Gig? I have nothing to lose. And I'm not the kind of person that puts my toe in the water before I jump in and then my leg. If I'm going to do something, I have a compulsive, obsessive personality. I'm going to do it. And so I spent, before I did it, I spent about 2 weeks doing as much online research as I could, which included YouTube videos, because I didn't want to go in with my eyes wide shut, but I just wanted to understand what was going on. So with that said, in order to get a baseline, I ended up spending a lot of money getting DEXA scans, getting CAC score scans, getting life physicals, which included a questionnaire of anything and everything that you do diet-wise and activity-wise, doing a Bruce Protocol stress test, FTP, and getting all this information for a baseline. And the blood panels were excessive. I got blood panels that I had to pay for out of pocket, so that once I started this, I was going to give it 90 days. What do I have to lose? But before I started it and doing my research, and if I may, I'd like to mention some doctors. Would that be okay?
Yes, please.
So, and not in any particular order, but all of these people are doctors unless I say that they're not. Excuse me for 1 second. So, Elizabeth Bright, osteopath, physician. Anthony Chafee, neurosurgeon and advocate and medical doctor. Ken Berry, MD. Tony Hampton, MD. Now, Dave Feldman is a researcher, but when we talk about Dave Feldman and Nick Norwitz, who does have an MD and PhD, as young as he is, these two people were influential because they were looking at a certain group of individuals that when they would lower carbohydrate intake and increase protein and fat, that cholesterol would go in the other direction in LDL, yet all your other markers would go in a great direction, and found this group of individuals called lean mass hyperresponders. And I found out through my research that I fell in that category, okay? And I'll come back to that. But Dave Feldman, a researcher, Nick Norwitz, PhD, incredible ability to write research, scientific research, evaluate it. And one of the things that I learned in my career is Myers-Briggs communication and different types of communication styles. And basically, there are four communication styles. They're directors, thinkers, feelers, and entertainers. Well, Nick Norwitz is a thinker. Thinkers are people that deal with metrics, specifications. They don't necessarily need closure on anything. They don't need to be told how beautiful life is. They're not going to entertain you. They're just going to look at the data, the raw data and specifics. And these are the people that crunch numbers, write code. And this is the kind of person Nick Norwitz is. And it's amazing, some of his research. So I follow him and Dave Feldman. And then Nader Ali, who is a interventional cardiologist who specializes in lipidology. And amazing. Learned so much from him and put my mind to rest. And then Jason Fung, a nephrologist and also someone in the whole food meat-based community. This is a YouTuber, a lot of YouTubers. I'm just going to give a quick shout out to Dave Mack real quick, because I believe that Dave is one of the few that is responsible for actual testimonials. If you're looking for testimonials, forget about the research and the science. Let's just forget about that and let's listen to the actual human beings that have been healed. This is something that Dave Mack has been able to do. I mean, what better testimonials? Hardcore data. Now, we still need the science behind it, but you can't debate someone that was in this state and now is in this state. So shout out to Dave Mack. Judy Cho, certified nutritionist and practitioner. Zoe Harcum, who practices in the UK. She's a PhD and another incredible researcher when it comes to hardcore data and debunking it. When it comes to debunking it, Zoe Harcum, absolutely. In the same realm as Dr. Nader Ali would be Dr. Philip Ovadia, who another interventional cardiologist. Those two doctors do stents, do bypasses. They want to do everything they can to keep their patients out of the operating room, off the operating table. So what better testimonial than to hear from not only a medical professional, but someone that's dealing with a specific coronary artery disease. Ben Bickman, another PhD in regards to biomedical science, follow him as well. I mentioned Sean O'Mara, another MD. So, and another YouTuber, I'm not saying this to pad anything, but I caught a couple of Homestead Howe turns into Healing Humanity and following you, because one of the things that, along with Michaela Peterson, every time you take your box or basket of medications and show that, that puts a smile on my face. And your ability in regards to the gift of gab to be able to, especially now without brain fog, you and I can go on and on and on and never find a loss of words and still be articulate and still be able to comprehend and understand objectively. So when it comes to your channel, that was the cream of the crop, and I could relate to so many things. So my research prior to jumping into this is based on all the pre-mentioned physicians that are out there. So I get these labs back, and I see my visceral fat. I see that my coronary arteries, my coronary artery calcium score originally was 168. And at the time I was 66 years old, which isn't bad, but it isn't good. In other words, it's inevitable. It's going to get worse as I age. And it's only one of the few markers. It's not the de facto standard, but it does give us an indication of what can possibly be going on and how it can affect mortality, along with other tests as well. So my total cholesterol was 768. My HDL wasn't bad. It was 61. My triglycerides were 260. My LDL got up to 380. My A1C was in the 8.1. And my CRP was very high, I think 2 point something. My insulin was very high. And I learned over time that it's not the cholesterol, it's not the LDL, it's these other markers that really denote metabolic health and the lack of autoimmune issues that doctors should be looking at that all the pre-mentioned doctors look at. And they don't look at total cholesterol and LDL like we've been taught. They'll still look at it, but they're not going to knee-jerk and say, oh, let's put you on a statin. And if you don't do a statin, I just can't treat you. You'll have to go somewhere else, kind of a thing. I've fired so many doctors. I've actually decided never again to go to a primary care physician or any kind of primary care practice that's insurance-based, because it's not the doctor's fault, but going back, you know, 70 years when Ansel Keys, who was President Eisenhower's, one of his physicians, was chosen to do that 7-country study and how it was corrupted, that he didn't report all the information. He only reported the information on the studies that were subsidized by the large sugar companies that were subsidizing his research and produced just the data that was to his favor. But the the overwhelming research was that a healthy diet and a diet that ancestrally we have been species-specific designed to eat, anthropologically speaking as well, he changed it up. And the standard American food pyramid was created, and everything since then, kidney disease, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, has all gone up. Logarithmically, not linearly, but logarithmically, we're the sickest country in the world. And everything I'm sharing with you, Carrie, you already know, and you probably have the same passion that I do. But with that said, I'm sorry if I'm boring your audience, but this is the stuff that, this is why I don't need to, even at 70, almost 71 years old right now, I don't need to go to a doctor annually to have a checkup. It's a waste of money, a waste of time. All they're going to do is want to put me on medicine and not look at the metrics and the blood panels that really mean something. And that's a whole nother thing. The target ranges on blood panels are community created. And if our community is as sick as they are, can you imagine that something that falls in the target range really means that, oh, you're not sick, you're average. But that community level is based on an average of sick people. And in the United States, it is what it is. So I'm out for big pharma, big food, big med. They're all scratching each other's backs. And so I ended up jumping right into the carnivore and never looked back. And I can tell you that every single one of my health and metabolic issues not only reverse themselves, but it's like, see ya. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. And over the past 4 years, I haven't fallen off or cheated. Why? Fear. I don't want to go back to where I was. So fear has been my motivation. But with that said, did I have the keto flu? No. But I did enough research that I knew, well, maybe for a week or two, I may have some diarrhea. But I understood the science behind it. When you're eating a primarily carb-based diet, your liver doesn't go to sleep, but your liver says, oh, you're not getting any fat. So the liver production of bile slows down because your body doesn't need it. And all of a sudden, when you start eating healthy saturated fats, not plant-based, but ruminant meat, saturated fat, which does amazing things in regards to hormonal stabilization, your body says, oh, whoa, we don't know how to digest this. We have to just throw it out. And you end up with diarrhea. And I knew, hey, no worries. This is going to pass because my liver is going to wake up and say, oh, okay, you need to produce a little more bile because we're seeing now more fat, which is good. And of course, your gallbladder stores whatever fat that it may not need to use. And people without gallbladders can still do this. And that's a topic of discussion for another time. But within a week, the diarrhea gone, and my life changed. It changed. And today, it's hard for me to keep my mouth shut when I see, no matter where I go, doesn't matter where I go, the majority of the people that I'm looking around, they're all overweight. They're all obese. They're all, they don't have that special step in their walk. When someone my age drops something on the floor, all of a sudden that person's grunting to bend down and you hear the, let me get that. And you hear the grunts and it takes them 10 seconds to bend down and pick it up and stand back up straight, and if something falls, I just pick it up and boom. So this has been an amazing 4 years, and just to quickly share with you, today my total cholesterol is still high. It's not 768, it's up around 400 to 500, but I don't look at any of that. My LDL, and I've done my research with low density, small particle and large particle, fluffy and all that. And the science is not, still doesn't understand, but I don't look at those. What I look at and what doctors should be looking at is your HDL. My HDL today is a whopping 98. And when doctors see that, it's like, wow. Again, this puts me in that lean mass hyper responder situation. But 98 is phenomenal. And with all humility due, I'm not talking about me being phenomenal. I'm just talking about the numbers. My triglycerides dropped from 270 down. It varies between 99 and 105, depending. But I don't worry about that. That's still great. And the triglyceride, HDL, and cholesterol ratios, when you do the math, I'm better than good. So my A1C dropped all the way down to 5.1 and consistently ranges between 5.1 and 5.3. So I'm not only no longer type 2 diabetic, but I'm good. My C-reactive protein, which is a marker for inflammation in the body, dropped all the way down to 0.8. There's no inflammation. My visceral fat has significantly, for someone my age to have a six pack, to have the vascularity and definition that I have, is not common. And so that's been a blessing. And my insulin, my fasting insulin is down to 1.9 to 2.1. It varies. So being an LMHR, lean mass hyperresponder, yes, my cholesterol. But guess what? My CAC score, my cardiac calcium score, went from, and I've had three of these done, went from 168 down to 33, and then zero. And I had to type that in to one of Dr. Barry and Nurse Nisha's podcast because when people say, oh, you can't reverse arterial plaque, you can't reverse any of that. Hello. My dad died of a coronary plaque occlusion, but that wasn't, causation and correlation. That wasn't the reason why that caused his heart attack. that wasn't the root cause. And that's another misnomer. And that's why doctors like Dr. Nader Ali and Philip Ovadia, debunked that, along with Dave Feldman and Nick Norowitz, and along with all the other doctors. So having these blood panels, I don't get these blood panels anymore. I'm on a path that I don't need to. I don't spend time worrying about it. As long as I continue to eat the way I eat, and it works. So as far as exercise, I'm an avid cyclist, road cyclist. And I have a trainer unit that my bike, you take the back tire off and my bike fits into, and I'm able to train indoors and outdoors. But I have my own CrossFit program. I don't go to any gym. I do my handstand push-ups. I do my pull-ups. I have a bench, and I do chest work and shoulder work and leg work and dips. And I do my CrossFit workout here at home. And I spend more time doing CrossFit than cycling, only because of where I am in Jacksonville, Florida. My road circuit is not as convenient as it used to be where I lived before, which was in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, and one of the most beautiful flat cycling sites there, where I was able to ride for 60, 70 miles at a clip. And Carrie, that's another thing real quickly. When you're on a when your body is energizing off of carbs, off of glucose, you have to refuel. And in the world of certain aerobic and anaerobic sporting events, you have to refuel. Well, I can get on my bike and I can ride 70 miles and not have to stop for an energy gel, or not while I'm riding, eat an energy gel or an energy bar. No. Everybody else, they'll do a stop and they'll refuel. I'm good. I get on my bike. I'm in ketosis. I'm fat adapted. My body burns off of ketones, off of fat. And it's an amazing, we'll call it a hint to anyone in the athletic world that they want to keep that a secret. They're not going to share that. It's coming out now that many athletes have decided to go carnivore or lion diet because it gives them the edge where they don't have to refuel. So, And as far as I eat, I'm going to pause because I don't want to go over time. But if you'd like to know what I eat, I'll be glad to share that. But
yeah,
that's pretty much.
It's incredible. First of all, I want to just say, I'm so happy for you that you found this healing. You got like a second chance at life. You're full of life. You're full of energy. It's incredible. So much of what you said, just, I love it. I had a lot of similar issues to you. I think maybe that's why your story resonates with me, but I had a mini stroke and I had a vestibular issue and I had to go in for physical therapy. And I had the same thing you described where the room was just spinning, and it's terrifying. And it's like, when will this ever end, sort of thing? And when you mentioned Michaela Peterson, it put a big smile on my face because I've interviewed so many carnivores now on my YouTube channel and for the documentary. And that Peterson family has been, what an amazing blessing in terms of people finding healing. I don't know that they've even scratched the surface on it. Just real quick, I don't know if you know this gig, but we recently filmed Tammy Peterson for a documentary. She has been carnivore for 6 years, had terminal cancer, and she's been in remission for several years now.
And I saw an excerpt. You showed an excerpt of Tammy's.
Yeah.
And there's also that farmer out west, who, cattle farmer, she's in her 80s.
Maggie. Yeah.
Maggie. Yes.
Yeah.
So
it's incredible. We filmed Tammy, and long story short, while we were filming her, we were setting up. They're like, you can set up in this room or that room. And Adam and I were waiting in the hallway. Someone walked behind us and introduced himself, and it was Jordan Peterson. So I got to meet Jordan Peterson and thank him because, like you, both Jordan and Michaela were a huge part of my journey as well. I saw Dante Ferrigno, an individual, and that resonated with me, but I'm like, this is crazy. I need to do more research. And then I saw Jordan Peterson. And when I saw Michaela, she totally reminded me of my daughter, Lily, who had all sorts of health issues, just like Michaela did. So long story short, I got to thank Jordan Peterson. But also your shout out to Dave Mack. I think he's now hit 1,000 interviews, or he's surpassed 1,000 carnivore interviews. I encourage everyone, go check him out. We also filmed him. He's got his own personal story. We filmed him for the documentary also. But the other thing that's remarkable about your story, you look incredible at 70, almost 71. Do you feel like, people always say this with carnivore, you sent me some like before pictures and after pictures. Do you feel like you're de-aging, or are people telling you this? Like, what are you doing, Gig? You look so much younger. You look better.
Not only do I have my life back, but I kicked myself in the rear end, because can you imagine if I had started this way of life back when I was a competitive athlete, a competitive gymnast? Oh my gosh. It's just amazing. I feel great. I can tell you that the result of my life fitness profile that was done on me, at the time I was 68. I don't remember. I'll have to go back and look. My chronological age was 68, but my health age was 41. So, yeah. And that was just a year or two into carnivore, but my athletic performance has skyrocketed. I'm outperforming, again, with all humility due, people half my age, not necessarily on the bike. I've never had a cyclist lower body, a cyclist legs, but in the CrossFit realm, doing as many pull-ups and dips and handstand push-ups and inverted crunches and all these other things, I'm trying to fight against sarcopenia, because people my age, that's the number one issue as far as musculoskeletal syndromes go. But have I lost strength? Oh, absolutely. But I'm doing everything I can to maintain strength. And I don't remember what doctor mentioned this, Carrie, but the adage in our culture is you age, you get old, and then you end up with metabolic and health issues, and then you die. And there are cultures like the Inuit, the Swahili, that the elders, when they get old, but they're living a pain-free, happy life in their senior years. They're not using walkers and canes. They don't have any ailments. They just die from old age. They don't die from a symptom or a disease. They just die of old age. I want to be around for my grandkids, and I'm seeing in front of me as we speak that I'm aging, but I'm not suffering any pain, and I don't have any debilitating issues that are supposed to come with old age. No, I just want to live a pain-free life in my older years, and I'm succeeding.
Doesn't it break your heart when you look around, you see other people in their 70s and their mobility scooters and canes and things like this? And is it, everyone that is in that space is, this is just aging. I'm just getting old. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, obviously when you get old, you're going to slow down a little bit, but do you feel like it's mostly nutrition and they're blaming it on aging?
100%. I never believed it, but what you put in your gut is a reflection of who you are. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. And that's how I felt when I saw what Michaela Peterson had gone through. And it's unfortunate. I've never had a weight issue, But when I saw what Michaela Peterson went through, opened my mind. But I've never had a weight issue except once in my life. I lost my job, and I became so emotional and affected. And how am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to take care of myself? What am I going to do? I had my first panic attack. I've never been known to have been diagnosed as having any psychological issues. But during that time, I was getting panic attacks. And once I was able to overcome that part of my life without medications, they eventually went away. But I also went from 170 pounds to 200 pounds. And I think I sent you a couple of pictures, but, and I looked, oh my God. And eventually I got back on track and I went into a whole food type of way of eating, still was eating carbs, but got back down. But when I went carnivore, my goal was just to heal myself. Had nothing to do with weight. And within 6 months, I went from 176 to 143. What's going on? And all of a sudden, I started seeing my abs, and my muscles look bigger than what they really are, only because you can see them. Not that they are bigger, but you know, the vascularity and everything. So when I look at people that want to try carnivore for weight purposes, a lot of people fail. They don't do enough research, and they either lose a couple of pounds and they say, okay, lost my weight. I guess I can go back to the way that I was eating before, the good old SAD diet. And then they end up gaining more weight. And so the only people that I've found that are true to carnivore are people that have seen their mortality flash in front of their eyes, unfortunately. And it's going to take a long, long time, but your documentary is going to help tremendously. But it's going to take a long time because the medical industry, they don't want to see you heal. Otherwise, they're going to lose money. They want to just deal with sick people. And unfortunately, that's where the revenue is generated, number one. And the days of walking into a physician's office and having him identify and attempt to troubleshoot root cause analysis, not just by research, causation and correlation, but really understand, are gone. They're governed by the insurance companies. They're governed by, well, I can only spend 6 minutes with you, but I've got my script book ready, and let me write the script to treat the symptom, not the root cause. And the pharmaceutical industry is making money. We don't want people to heal themselves. Otherwise, we're going to lose money. And it's just a catch-22. It's big med, big food, big pharma scratching each other's backs.
It makes me it's one of the things where I'm like, I found this healing. I'm great. I'm moving on. But the more I think about this, and for people out there that are listening to this and they're maybe considering carnivore, it makes me so mad, Gig, when I think, like, at the expense of not just my health, but the health of my children, big food, big pharma, their wallets just getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And they don't care that my children are walking around right now, pre-diabetic, depressed with fatty liver disease. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And that's all happening because we're participating in it unknowingly, but we're getting them richer and richer and richer. So I don't know. I always just encourage people to think about it a little bit differently that way. Some people are like, oh, I just enjoy the food so much. But when you really, when you start to think clearly and get rid of that brain fog and you see what's going on out there, it's hard not to be vocal about it.
The doctor said to me, Gig, your liver looks just as bad as an alcoholic's cirrhosis liver. And if I didn't know better, I would have thought that you partook in alcohol. And my AST and ALT numbers were so high. And today, you know, they're in their 20s and my liver is functioning wonderfully. But fatty liver disease, you know, when it comes to, and the other thing, Carrie, is what is it that we need to do to educate people that when someone says, oh, I eat whole food, I eat fresh broccoli, I don't buy canned broccoli, I grow it in my backyard, I eat fresh fruit, right? I eat, what about the glyphosates?
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members-only videos. We do members-only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
What about the fact that it doesn't matter if it's a carb? It could be the healthiest carb in the world, but guess what? Your body is going to convert it into one of three things: glucose, fructose, or sucrose. And if it's fructose, it's going to glycate as soon as it hits your palate. And it's going to cause inflammation. And that was the root cause of my dad's death. And when you end up with inflammation throughout the whole body, let alone intra-arterial, what does cholesterol do? You're born in ketosis. When babies come out of mommy's stomach, they're in ketosis. They're not living off of glucose. They're living off of fat. And not until the baby starts growing teeth in our culture, we convert them now to whole food, which means carbohydrates. And now you're converting that human being from running off of ketones to running off of glucose. And the process starts over time. So, when you're in ketosis, every organ in your body is surrounded by ketones, and you just function better. Your heart pumps more efficiently. Your brain is all cholesterol. And this old cholesterol myth is going to take years to overcome. But we're slowly getting there, Carrie. One human at a time.
One human, one story, for sure.
One story.
I love what you said earlier, too, about the addiction part of it and the carbs. And it all breaks down as glucose in the blood. And if you look around in the world right now, 9 out of 10 people have poor metabolic health. 70% are overweight. I feel like the majority of humanity is addicted. And that was a message I've been trying to get out more recently to people, because I stumbled and fumbled around on a ketogenic diet for 10 or 15 years. And don't get me wrong, like it helped me more than anything, but I could never moderate it because I never realized that, listen, I'm addicted to carbs. And on keto, I'm trying to moderate a little bit of carbs like an alcoholic would be trying to have. They'll just have a little bit of beer here, and then it doesn't work. So I think that's a message.
I mean, I understand a lot of people that start a different way of eating want to reward themselves. and by cheating or having this or that. But my reward, personally, I can't speak for anyone else, is no one could ever understand how good I feel and wake up jumping out of bed, opening those curtains. And nowadays, when I'm working and I break for lunch, what do? I'm wearing my shorts. I take off my shirt. I go into the backyard and get on the lounge chair and read my lesson guides and do whatever I have to do. And I'm getting natural vitamin D3. And that's a whole other topic, is when you're not running on glucose, you're running on ketones, you don't burn. You don't feel that tingly hot. You don't burn. You can work in the sun, moderation, of course, but you can work in the sun. And I take my glasses off so that my eyes are getting natural light, and I'm grounded, and wow, yeah. Now, on a meat, fat-based whole food diet, you really don't have to take there's no supplement needed, but as far as supplements, real quickly, I take, and I haven't even shared what I eat, but I'll take some, omega-3 fish oil. I don't need it, but I take it just, hey, that could be a good thing. I take K2. Do I need it? No. And on non-sunny days, after one or two days, will I take a D3 K2 supplement? Sure, but not needed. The only real supplement that I take is potassium iodine. And I've learned that through a lot of the doctors that I mentioned, I learned that our soils have been destroyed to the, not only glyphosate spraying and killing animals along with the combines, but I've learned that our soils they're not iodine rich that they were 100 years ago or 200 years ago. And hence, yeah, we know about it. That's why we ended up putting iodine in salt. And even that salt is not, and you're not getting the amount that you need. And endocrinologists just don't know any better. If you tell them you're taking iodine, they're like, no, you know, and it's, you know, you, for God's sakes, you pee it out. But I follow a lot of these doctors, and I follow Dr. Bronstein, who is a specialist and knows about iodine. So I do supplement iodine, and yeah.
That's great. Gig, I have one last question for you. I could talk to you for another hour. We should do a live stream or something sometime. I really love your story.
Anytime, Carrie, anytime.
The last question, you mentioned Maggie, and I get a lot of people that watch my channel that are considering carnivore, that are maybe in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, or aging. A lot of people saw some of the stuff we've done with Maggie, the rancher. Maggie's 83. And when we interviewed her, she said, people can make fun of me if they want, but I feel like I'm going to live to be 120 years old. And she said, there's no reason we shouldn't. Everyone is dying far before their time now because of the foods they're eating. They're chronically inflamed for years and years. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you feel like you may live to be 100 or older, or have you thought about that at all?
Great question, Carrie. And I love you for that. I'm thinking about it less now because I know that what I'm doing is everything that I'm able to do that's in my power, and I have no regrets. As I shared with you a little bit earlier, my goal is to be around to see my grandkids grow up. That's my goal. So based on science and anthropological study, and I learned this from Ken Berry, is that we are designed to live into our centennial years. But we have destroyed our bodies to the point where mortality has fallen off the table, especially in today's time. I would like to live, to answer your question, I would like to live long enough that there's either zero dependency on anyone else to take care of me or minimal dependency. And if that's the case, then I know that I've lived a fruitful life, and I don't want my kids to have to take care of me. I see that with so many families, especially people my age. They've had to bring their moms and dads, they have had to move them into their house or put them in, you know, senior centers and all that, and those kind of scenarios. And it tears me apart to see the children now taking care of the parents. Should they? Yes, but to the extent where the parent just is immobilized and can't get around, or is having mental issues like Alzheimer's or any of those diseases. So my goal is, yes, I want to be around long enough that I've never experienced those, at least to the point of having to lean on someone else to take care of me. And when I go without any major ailments. But I think my odds are much better now than they were 4 years ago. And yeah, you can't completely undo a lifelong abuse of your temple, your body. But the sooner you start, it's proven that you can repair. And I think that I'm a good example of that, especially with my CAC score and all my markers improving.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so thankful, Gig, you've shared your story here. It's incredible what you've done. It's very inspiring. It's awesome too that you've you have the records, the CAC score and things like that. Do you have anything you want to shout out or mention? I usually end that way. If I don't know if you have Facebook or YouTube or anything you want to shout out.
Yeah, I have YouTube, I have Facebook, I have Instagram. People can reach me on Facebook. They can type in my last name, Goldbarth, G-O-L-D-B-A-R-T-H. There are only a few out there and they're my relatives. And my first name is Gregory. I don't think I'm listed by Gig. And then I'm the Gig 7, T-H-E-G-I-G 7 on Instagram. And I haven't done, I haven't done any real YouTube videos to the point where I would have anything to share as far as that goes. But my last shout out is a thank you to you and what you have done. You're amazing. The education and the emotion that you've been able to share through your media outlets have been incredible, and I can't wait to see your documentary. And people out there, please support Carrie. Please go to Homestead Howe and Healing Humanity. You will learn so much, and he's so motivating. He can get in front of anyone, and within 10 minutes, he can sell ice to an Eskimo in regards to his, in regards to your passion. So thank you, Carrie, for everything that you've done.
Oh, I really appreciate your kind words. Thank you so much for saying all that. I think that's why your story resonates with me too, because this really saved me. I can't imagine where I'd be without it. And it sounds like it's a very similar situation to you as well. So there's always that kinship or brotherhood when you run across other people. It's awesome when you meet other carnivores, but when you meet others that are doing this because it's a matter of life or death sort of thing is something on another level.
I will say this real quick. If you're ever near me in Florida, I do a killer ribeye or, by the way, 60-40 Wagyu beef, ground beef. I do a killer smoked not just grilled, but smoked burger or smoked ribeye that will knock your socks off using applewood and hickory. And it's going to be the best you've ever put in your mouth. I'll guarantee you that.
You had me at ribeye. I'll take you up on that for sure. Awesome. Thank you so much, Gig. Really appreciate you sharing your story. Have a great day.
Thank you, Carrie. Take care.